shop in store or online at michaelhinnies.com. Open bank holiday Monday 11 to 6. Michael Hinnies, you at your best.
Live, on air, online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. Donal Kavanagh at the news desk with the main evening news this evening. The main story is a Ballyshannon minibus driver has been found not guilty of causing the death of a Letterkenny mother of three. The general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says he's open to the suggestion of employing a text reminder service for outpatient appointments. The new Educate Together school in Letterkenny has opened today. We'll be speaking to the principal after the staff and students walked from their old school to the new one. And local residents, business owners and community groups in West Donegal are being asked to attend a meeting tomorrow to discuss the county development plan. It comes after councillors in the Glenties Municipal District rejected their budget because of cuts. And later, shortly after 10 past 5 this evening, we'll have the sports news with Kenny Harkin. That's coming up. A Ballyshannon minibus driver has been found not guilty of causing the death of Letterkenny mother of three, Sheena Stewart, by driving without due care and attention, Gannon, on January 1st, 2015. The acquittal followed legal submission at Donegal Town Circuit Court earlier today. With more details, here's Catherine Gaffney.
55-year-old William McKee, Carrignahorna, Cashelar, Ballyshannon, County Donegal, had pleaded not guilty to the charge before a 7-man and 5-woman jury at Donegal Circuit Court. Today, the trial judge, John Aylmer, ruled that the defendant be acquitted following a legal submission by defence counsel Colm Smith a day and a half into the trial in the absence of the jury. When the jury came back, the judge told them that a legal submission arising from the evidence presented by the prosecution showed that this evidence would be insufficient to uphold a conviction of careless driving. In this circumstance, he directed the jury to acquit the accused. The judge extended his deepest sympathies to the family of Sheena Stewart.
The general manager at Letterkenny University Hospital has said he's open to the suggestion of employing a text reminder service for outpatient appointments. It follows concerns raised earlier this week on Highland Radio that over 100 people failed to turn up for outpatient appointments last week. Figures reveal that the number of non-attendances can range from 79 to 179 on a week-to-week basis. Speaking to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show earlier today, Sean Murphy said such a system is currently being examined.
It does make a lot of sense, and that's something we're actively working on at the moment to put that system in. But it needs to be something that then interfaces with our particular outpatient computer system.
Excellent.
So we're working on that, yeah.
Meanwhile, there were 25 patients waiting admission at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning. That's up from 16 yesterday. The INMO's figures show that as of those, 6 were waiting on trolleys in the emergency department. The new Educate Together school in Letterkenny has opened today. Staff and pupils gathered at the temporary premises at Ballyrane this morning and walked the short distance to the new school in Kiltoy. The school, which opened in a series of prefab buildings in 2006, currently has just under 250 pupils. Principal Anya Fabishak says the increased capacity at the new school building gives scope for numbers to grow substantially. She says this is an important element in ensuring that parents have more choice when it comes to education in the area.
We were very limited by the size of our old accommodation. We were limited to taking in one of each class, so one class from junior infants up to 6th class. The potential here at the new school is that if we were ever to go to full capacity, we could have 3 of each class. The potential for growth and development is huge for us now, which is something that's really important to us because we want to be able to welcome as many families as possible into our school community. And we've been limited in our ability to do that in recent times, but we're hoping now that we'll be able to grow in strength and strength from here on in.
The other difference is, of course, going to be facilities. The limitation wasn't just on numbers. The limitation was very much on physical space. You now have a hall, you now have room in which you can develop, room in which you can hold extracurricular activities, and as we said, room to expand as well.
As we left our old premises today, I suppose it was tinged with a little bit of sadness too. I mean, we have created some fantastic memories there over the last number of years, and we had a very, very happy school life there, you know, but it definitely had its limitations. Even, for example, I take assembly every Friday and we couldn't fit into even the same room anymore. We had to split assemblies up into different classes. Inviting our parents in is a huge part of our ethos of the school, and that was limited. You know, we couldn't do that as a whole school community. And local businesses were fantastic, and premises used to allow us to use their premises. But for the first time today, we were all able to fit into our fantastic new gym hall, everybody together, junior infants up to sixth class and all of our school community with us. And just to be in a permanent structure with bright, spacious classrooms, this is really important for the children, for their teaching and learning to happen in the school. And I suppose it wasn't until we moved from our old premises we realised how well we had done to create that thriving educational experience for the children in very limited premises.
And that was Anya Fabishak, the principal of Educate Together in Letterkenny, in their new school today. And on our website, there's more from Anya, plus photographs of the walk and the pupils and teachers in their new school today. Local residents, business owners and community groups across West Donegal are being urged to attend a meeting tomorrow evening to discuss the county development plan. Information on what's in the plan is being presented, with interested parties also given a chance to voice their views in relation to local services. The forum takes place tomorrow at 7 at Anuth Podrick in Door. Councillor Mary Trace Gallagher says it's a very important meeting that ensures that when the plan is finalised, local communities' needs have been considered.
Sinn Féin have taken an initiative to open up a dialogue with local residents, local groups and business people. The first meeting will be in Door on Friday evening at 7 o'clock in Door Hall. And it's really to give information of what is in the county development plan, but also gathering what the needs are in their communities, so that when we sit down to finalise this plan, that we're able to ensure that local communities have exactly what they need within the county development plan for the next 5 years.
And this is an important meeting, particularly for West Donegal, as it is one of the most rural areas within the county.
Exactly. You know, it's a very important meeting. You know, the rural housing policy be one of the main policies that we would... that most individuals would be applying for housing from in West Donegal, and there are challenges within the rural housing policy and they need to be ironed out. But I suppose what we're trying to do as a party is that we're trying to engage people and finding out, you know, where they think development should be, and also looking at the rural housing policy and the settlement, different settlement areas as well, and the need of those settlement areas.
So you would encourage anybody who's interested to come along on Friday?
I would hope that as many people as possible could come along. It will be informative. And I suppose what we're there to do is, we may not have all the answers to all the questions that people want answers to, but we'll have as much information as possible there on the night. And then we can actually take more to the table at Donegal County Council and be the voices of the people in West Donegal.
Councillor Mary Trace Gallagher there speaking to Michaela Clark. Well, the Cathaoirleach of the Glenties Municipal District has called for more autonomy to be given to the districts so that councillors can decide how to spend money and raise funds in their own areas. Councillor Micheál Colum-Glaspig was speaking after Glenties councillors decided to reject the municipal district budget because of what they claim is a massive cut in the discretionary investment fund. Councillor Micheál says if the municipal districts are to be relevant, they must have more discretion over how money is raised and spent.
I believe that what we should be doing is looking at the budget for housing, the road infrastructure, community development. We're trying to develop the Greenway from Burtonport to Letterkenny with crumbs off a table. And we should be able to have a say on how we distribute the finances right across the board.
Do you believe that you should have the ability to raise funds yourselves at municipal district level, be it through a different local rate or the ability to levy local taxes?
Yes, I do believe in a progressive tax, and I think most progressive people would believe in it. I think we need to look at it right across the whole board. But unfortunately, the reality for West Donegal and other rural parts of Donegal is that they've been underdeveloped and with very little investment over this last good number of years.
Is there not a risk that if you have five municipal districts each effectively competing with each other for resources and competing with each other and getting into battles over who's charging the smallest rates and who charges the least tax, that you may actually fracture the county, and instead of having five separate parts of the one body working together, you effectively now have five different mini councils in competition?
No, I do believe that we need a central council, which we have in Lifford, and that must be maintained, but we need to have some autonomy or some means in the Glenties Municipal District or any other municipal districts to divvy out the taxes that are raised, need that be locally or throughout the whole county.
An action committee has been established in Killybegs with a view to revitalising the town centre and promoting activities and services to attract more visitors to the area. The group was formed at a public meeting in the Bayview Hotel last night following local concerns that while 200,000 people visit Sleaf League and Glencolum Kill each year, very few stop while passing through Killybegs. Councillor Niamh Kennedy says Killybegs is a thriving town with great potential. She says every effort is going to be made to put it on the map.
It was really to do with the regeneration of the main street and the centre, the core centre of town, which has over the years not been as busy as it would have been in the past. Obviously, like every other town and all towns around the country, there's people are moving out from the centres and there's little life left anymore. So we decided that we should pull a group together that can focus on this. Just like in Donegal Town, you'd have the Donegal, the business focus group and the chamber. Ballyshannon would have back in Ballyshannon group. You know, there's traders groups everywhere else. This is focused mainly on regeneration, on retail and on our tourism sector. We have a very vibrant fishing sector, very vibrant in the way of engineering and all of the rest of it. We've got all those assets and we're very lucky to have them. But this was for our quality of life, for our, the centre of our towns, for our just for our visual appearance and all of the rest of it.
And it was Councillor Niamh Kennedy. It's 14 minutes past 5 o'clock.
Go the distance this autumn in lightweight running shoes at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Sponsors of Highland Radio Sport, michaelmurphysports.ie.
As you've been hearing this afternoon, a big announcement today from Patsy McGonigal with details of that and the rest of today's sports news. Here's Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Yes, in athletics, big news, of course. Patsy McGonigal today announced that he's stepping down as team manager of the Irish athletics team 25 years after first managing the team at the World Junior Championships in Seoul in South Korea. During the quarter of a century at the helm of the national team, Patsy oversaw unprecedented success, including Irish athletes winning 2 Olympic medals, 9 World Championship medals and 27 European Championship medals. He also led the team 68 times. Patsy said it was a privilege to be involved at that level.
25 years, 68 times in charge of the national team. It was a great privilege, obviously, to be involved at that level and to develop, you know, from the juniors to the cross country to the under 23s to the seniors Olympics and so on. So great memories and great, you know, some very great occasions, and you know, an occasion also now to say thank you to the athletes, the coaches and the support staff, many of whom were inspiring, and I enjoyed the journey, Kelly.
Patsy, you've overseen a lot of big successes, a couple of Olympic medals, I see 9 World Championship medals, 27 European Championship medals. I'm sure there's lots of highlights there.
Aye, there was. Of course, each and every one of them were highlights, and you know, and there were many other exciting and emotional moments as well. Obviously, not all going according to plan, and but that's the nature of sport, you know. And I just kind of felt it was, although I had the opportunity to go on to Tokyo, I felt it was time to step down, and I've come to terms with that now. So I just thought it'd best to put an end to it today and to put it out there.
And Patsy, you were saying you were willing to stay on until, or they offered you to stay on until 2020, but you've just decided. Is there any reason, or you just decided this is the time?
Well, no, I give it a bit of thought. You know, I mean, obviously, I interviewed for the period up to Tokyo, and then having been offered the position, I thought about it for about 10 days prior to going to the London World Championships, and then I informed Athletics Ireland that I would you know, I would call a halt after London, and you know, I think appropriate, and I'm happy that I did that now, to be honest, because there is a time in your life that you have to make serious decisions. I think I've come to terms with it now in the last few weeks, and I'm happy to step back.
Yep, Patsy McGonigal there after 25 years as manager of the Irish athletics team. Moving on to soccer, and Republic of Ireland manager Martin O'Neill hasn't given up hope of John Walters playing some part in next month's World Cup playoff with Denmark. The Burnley striker hasn't been included in the 34-man squad revealed today by O'Neill, but the manager's refusing to rule out Walters featuring against the Danes. James McCarthy, he's been included in the squad after making his return to the Everton first team last night. O'Neill has been outlining what he expects from Denmark.
They're good, they're very, very strong. They're much better than they were when they played in the playoff games against Sweden in the Euros. Much better.
and they're stronger and they're quite physical, and they have got some exceptionally good players. It'll be really tough for us, but I'm hoping it'll be tough for them as well.
In other soccer news, Rangers have sacked their manager, Pedro Caxena. The Portuguese boss was only appointed at Ibrox in March, but their League Cup semi-final loss to Motherwell, coupled with last night's draw with bottom side Kilmarnock, have ended Caxena's reign. Graham Murty takes temporary charge of the club. Moving on to Gaelic Games, and Cork's Sean Powter and Niall Grimley of Armagh have been confirmed as the final two tourists for the upcoming International Rules Series. Manager Joe Kiernan revealed the news this morning following the final trial match at Croke Park last night. It brings to 15 the number of counties represented in the squad, but confirms no player from the All-Ireland champions Dublin will be involved in the games against Australia next month. Michael Murphy is Donegal's representative. And the LYA team, men's team secured their place in the quarterfinals of the Higher Education Senior League Division 2 in Gaelic Games today. Under the management of Michael Murphy, Eddie Glacken and Francie Friedel, the Letterkenny side took their second win in three games. They defeated Cavan Institute in Cavan by a scoreline of 5-12 to 1-8. Buncrana's John Campbell, he starred with two goals and 4 points. The three other goals were scored by Michael Carroll, Callum Gallagher and Derek O'Connor. Keelan McDade and Michael Langan also chipped in with points. The draw for the quarterfinals will be made soon, with the last eight to be played on the week commencing the 13th of November. Moving on to rugby, and Simon Zeebo has been omitted from the Irish squad for next month's Autumn Internationals. The Munster winger come fullback is to leave the province at the end of the season. There is a policy not to pick overseas-based players for Ireland, but with Zeebo at Munster still until May, his absence is something of a surprise. Connacht centre Bundy Aki is one of the four uncapped players named in the 38-man squad. The New Zealand-born Connacht centre qualifies for Ireland under the residency rule. Joining Aki are Munster backs Darren Sweetman, Chris Farrell and Leinster winger Adam Byrne. Ireland's autumn international campaign begins with the visit of the Springboks at Aviva on November the 11th, the week after Fiji. They roll into Lansdowne, followed by Argentina on November the 25th. And Connacht and Munster have both named their teams for tomorrow's Pro 12 Interprovincial at the sports grounds. Munster have made just three changes from the side that beat Racing 92, but Tyler Blyandale, he remains sidelined with a neck injury. Andrew Conway, John Ryan, Mark Flanagan, they all come in. Ian Keatley, he remains it out. And Connacht, they've made eight changes to their team. Captain John Muldoon, Alton Deland, Finlay Beelam and Kieran Marimon are among those recalled. In golf, the WGC World Golf Championship event's taking place in Shanghai this week, and the only Irishman in the field is Paul Dunne. He's had an excellent start. He's in 5 under par, just 3 shots off the leader. He's Brooks Koepka. He's on 8 under par. Finally, for this evening in boxing, Anthony Joshua has told his boxing fans he's ready to entertain on Saturday's world title defence. He's putting up his WBA and IBF heavyweight belts. They're putting him on the line in Cardiff when he takes on late replacement Carlos Takam. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Donal.
Thank you, Kenny. The leader of Catalonia has ruled out calling a snap regional election. There had been speculation that Carles Puigdemont would dissolve the regional parliament and call elections for December. It's now not known how his government would resolve the crisis over its drive for independence from Spain. Members of the European Parliament have voted to recommend phasing out glyphosate used in the weed killer Roundup within 5 years. The final decision will be up to the European Commission and member states. The weed killer is widely used by Irish farmers. Most Irish MEPs voted against the 5-year phase out. The Donegal IFA chair Michael Chance says the move will cause huge strain for farmers with no alternative on the market.
Science does find ways of alternative products, but we'd be very worried on this one. We don't mind if an alternative product comes along, but to remove that one before an alternative product comes along causes us a huge headache.
Well, Midlands North West MEP Marianne Harkin was one of those who did vote for the phase out. She says she's too concerned about the potential negative health effects of the substance.
On social media, several people have spoken very harshly to me about my not understanding, not knowing that this will be detrimental to farmers, etc. I have no interest in anything that's detrimental to Irish agriculture. I have an interest in public health, in public safety. And if there are concerns, and in my opinion, significant concerns, not just in Europe, in California, in South America as well, about glyphosate, I am not going to ignore that. In conscience, I couldn't.
Tougher drink driving sanctions will impact on rural dwellers more seriously, according to Irish Rural Link. Under the proposals, which are being voted on tomorrow, a person caught with reduced blood alcohol limit faces a driving ban for their first offence. There are also calls to improve Meals on Wheels and local Link bus services to combat rural isolation. With more, here's Juliette Gash.
At the moment, people caught driving with a blood alcohol level of between 51 and 80 milligrams face penalty points and a fine. Under new proposals being debated this afternoon, a first offence, even at the lower limit, would mean an automatic driving ban of 3 months. Seamus Boland from Irish Rural Link says a driving ban would be devastating for rural dwellers in particular.
You lose your job, you may lose the ability to collect your kids after school, the ability to bring your kids to various events and all of that stuff. So we just think it's far too punitive for the offence.
At a seminar organised by Irish Rural Link, there are calls to increase funding for Meals on Wheels and local Link transport services. Seamus Boland is calling on the government to prioritise rural Ireland once and for all.
Unfortunately, the drink driving legislation, while in itself is not that serious, it's a symptom of not putting the well-being of rural families on the agenda, at the top of the agenda. And as I said, living in social isolation is no joke.
And that was Seamus Boland ending that report there from Juliette Gash. And motorists across Donegal are being urged to exercise extra caution as the dark evenings fast approach. The clocks go back at the weekend. The Donegal Road Safety Working Group is urging pedestrians and cyclists to stay safe, while motorists are being urged to ensure their vehicles are fit for winter. The Donegal Road Safety Officer Brian O'Donnell says visibility is becoming an issue.
It's very, very important for their own safety that they are visible to traffic, because the evening, it is very, very dark, morning and afternoon, and with the bad weather, rain and the light, just not what it should be. We want to keep people safe on the road, and for motorists to please slow down and be aware that there will be people on the road, and they mightn't be, unfortunately, wearing high-vis clothing, but we'd appeal to them to put the clothing on and make themselves visible to motorists.
And an issue we hear about over and over again is motorists not using fog lights, but it is vital that this is enforced.
That's right, and using fog lights when they should not be on. Fog lights should only be used when there's fog. Next week as well, kids will be off school, the midterm break, and there'll be a lot more kids out on the road. And just again, to be aware that there will be children on the roads around housing estates and around our towns, to make sure that people are aware that they will be on the roads as well.
And that was Brian O'Donnell, the Donegal Road Safety Officer. Looking at the weather forecast for this evening, and it'll stay mainly dry this evening, according to the Met Office, with fog developing in some parts, temperatures dropping tonight to between 2 and 5 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow it'll be dry with fog gradually clearing. Sunny spells will develop tomorrow, highs on Friday of 11 to 13 degrees Celsius in light variable breezes. And that's Highland Radio News for now. The main story is a Ballyshannon minibus driver has been found not guilty of causing the death of a Letterkenny mother of three, Sheena Stewart, by driving without due care and attention in Ballyshannon on January 1st, 2015. The acquittal followed a legal submission at Donegal Town Circuit Court. The general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says he's open to the suggestion of employing a text reminder service for outpatient appointments at the hospital. It follows revelations that routinely over 100 people failed to turn up to outpatient appointments each week. The new Educate Together National School in Letterkenny has opened. Staff and pupils symbolically walked from the old premises in Ballyrain to the new school in Kiltoy this morning. The school currently has just under 250 pupils. They'll have substantial capacity to improve and increase as a result of this move. We're back again with news headlines at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 26th of October. The death has taken place of Seamus Gillespie, Tullyarvan, Buncrana. His remains will repose at his home from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of Nappy Boyle, Maharalusk, Bunbeg. Remains will repose at Gwydor Funeral Home from 6 o'clock this evening until Rosary at 9, and again tomorrow evening from 4 o'clock until Rosary at 9. Removal from there on Saturday afternoon at 12:30, going to St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, for Requiem Mass at 1 o'clock. Burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Oros Cuador, care of Kieran Rorty, funeral director, or any family member. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of Susan McGeehan, Drimnaha, Fintown. Her remains are reposing at her late residence, Rosary Nightly, at 9 o'clock. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Requiem Mass on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock in St. Columb Kills Chapel, Fintown, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. The death has taken place at Beech Hill Manor, Liz Fannin of Betty Spillane, Seacrest, Shore Road, Boncrana. Her remains are reposing at McLaughlin's funeral home. Viewing tomorrow from 2 p.m. until removal at 5:15 to St. Mary's Oratory, Boncrana, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock with burial afterwards in Cock Hill Cemetery. Family home, please, strictly private at the request of the deceased. The death has taken place at her residence of Mary Logue, 68 Brocker Road, Eglinton. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Tamnahirin. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Alzheimer's Society, care of George Gormley Funeral Director, 71 Main Street, Clody, County Derry. The death has taken place of Hugh Conway, Mallon, formerly of Belfast. His remains are reposing at PJ Brown Funeral Home, Old Park Road, North Belfast. Funeral will take place at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning at St. Paul's Chapel, Falls Road, Belfast, with cremation afterwards at 11:30 in Roselawn Crematorium. Inquiries, please, to PJ Brown Funeral Home, Old Park Road, North Belfast. The death has taken place of Florrie Doherty, Derry Real, Falkara. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, on Saturday at 11, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, care of any family member or Harkins Funeral Director, Creasla. The death has occurred at St. Joseph's Community Hospital, Stranorder of Mary Duffy, Navanny, Ballybuffet. Her remains are reposing at her home from 6 o'clock until rosary at 10 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. until rosary at 10 p.m. Funeral from her home on Saturday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Sesha O'Neill, at 11 o'clock with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Patients' Comfort Fund, St. Joseph's Hospital, or the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place at his home of Noel McCrory, 3 Melmount Road, Strabane. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Melmount, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Macmillan Cancer Support, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The untimely death has taken place of Carmel Jacinta McFadden, Garshui, Newton Cunningham. Visitors will be received at her home this evening from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock and again tomorrow Friday from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Funeral from her home on Saturday at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Killay, with interment in All Saints Cemetery, Newton Cunningham. No flowers, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member.